Hi everyone, thanks for listening today while I discuss my research on lie telling. I think lie telling is an interesting topic to understand because it's something that affects all of us in our day-to-day interactions. In fact, diary studies have shown that on average, adults lie about once per day. Because lie telling is such a common behavior, it's interesting to think about the different abilities that are required in order to carry out this complex social function. Part of my research involves trying to understand the different cognitive skills that allow us to lie and to lie well. In our lab, we study children and adolescents' lie telling in relation to their executive functioning. But today I'm also going to be talking about the brain regions that are associated with these different abilities to dig a little bit deeper into how lie telling develops. While it may seem to come naturally in some situations, lie telling is actually a very complicated cognitive function. This is especially true for children, and it's why young kids often tell lies that are easy to see through. This changes quite quickly, though. By 7 or 8 years old, children are able to tell lies that are quite sophisticated and difficult to detect. In our lab, we examine children's ability to tell lies using a task called the temptation resistance paradigm. In this paradigm, a child plays a guessing game with an experimenter, where they guess the identity of a series of toys based on the sound that they hear. The toy we use for the test trial is an elephant, and the sound the kids hear with the elephant is the alphabet song. So the child is left alone in a room and asked not to peek at the toy. Because the elephant and song are unrelated, the child would need to turn around and peek to accurately guess the identity of the toy. When the experimenter returns, she covers the elephant with a blanket and asks the child some questions. Using this task, we can see when kids begin to tell more simple lies, such as saying no when we ask them if they peeked at the toy. But we can also examine their lie sophistication by asking them to guess the identity of the toy. These responses are where we see interesting and often entertaining differences in children's lie-telling abilities. For example, we have found in our lab that half of 3-year-olds will lie about peeking. However, they are not very successful in covering up their peeking and lying during the follow-up questions. When we ask what they think the toy is, the young children will say it's an elephant, and when we ask how they know, they'll say, "Well, I just knew." So they don't tell very convincing lies. But with age, we see an increased ability to conceal peeking at the elephant. About 80% of 5 to 8-year-old children will lie. And with age, they become much better at covering up their lie in the follow-up questions. So for example, a 5 or 6-year-old may still guess that the toy is an elephant, but explain that they think that because they also have a toy elephant at home that plays the same song. This is unlikely and therefore not a convincing response, but it is somewhat plausible. By 7 and 8 years old, the lies are much more successful. For example, an 8-year-old might say, "I think it's a music box because I heard it play a song." And this not only conceals their peeking and lie telling, but it's also a plausible guess that convinces the experimenter that they have not peeked at the elephant. So what's happening in the brain that allows this ability to develop? There are a number of cognitive abilities that have been examined in relation to lie telling, but there are 2 in particular that have been consistently found to be important. So today I'm going to be focusing on those 2 abilities, which are theory of mind and inhibitory control. Theory of mind is defined as the ability to understand that different people have different thoughts, beliefs, and knowledge from your own. Children's theory of mind understanding emerges between 3 and 5 years of age, which is also the time when lie telling emerges and begins to increase in sophistication. So to put this in the context of the temptation resistance paradigm, children need theory of mind to understand that the experimenter does not know whether they peeked at the elephant. So they need to provide answers that are consistent with the experimenter's beliefs and do not reveal their transgression. There are 3 regions of the brain that have consistently been found to be activated during theory of mind tasks during adulthood. These regions are the bilateral temporal parietal junction, as well as the medial prefrontal cortex. Research with kids has shown activation in these regions as well. Beginning at 4 years old, there's increased activity during theory of mind tasks in the medial prefrontal cortex and right temporal parietal junction, which is also the age at which early theory of mind understanding typically emerges. These regions become more specialized for theory of mind understanding with age. For example, an fMRI study by Guion and colleagues showed that 5 to 11-year-old children and adults exhibit equal activation in the three theory of mind areas when being read stories about others' mental states. However, children also showed activation in these same areas during stories about others' physical states, while adults did not. With age, activation during these physical state stories decreased, suggesting an increased specialization of these areas for theory of mind understanding specifically. These developmental patterns map on to the increased sophistication of children's lie-telling abilities, but there is currently no neuroimaging research examining theory of mind brain regions during a lie-telling task. The second ability that has been consistently shown to contribute to lie-telling is inhibitory control. This is the ability to withhold a dominant or automatic response and instead produce an alternative response. Children and adults who perform better on inhibitory control tasks, such as the day-night and word-color-stroop tasks, are also better lie-tellers. So, people who are better able to withhold the truthful response will be better at producing a plausible and convincing alternative. There have been neuroimaging studies with adults during lie-telling tasks that support the importance of inhibitory control for lying. In particular, the anterior cingulate cortex, which monitors and responds to conflict, is consistently found to be activated when lying. Additionally, the prefrontal cortex is activated when lying, which is also important for various executive functioning abilities, including inhibitory control. There are only two studies, to my knowledge, that have used fMRI to examine the role of inhibitory control in children's lie-telling. Thiessen and colleagues looked at spontaneous lie-telling in 8 to 9-year-old children. Telling a lie was associated with greater activation in the anterior cingulate cortex. However, they did not find any differences in prefrontal cortex activation. The second study by Yokota and colleagues did not find any anterior cingulate cortex or prefrontal cortex activation differences, but instead found increased activation in the inferior parietal lobe when lying. However, kids in this study were told when to lie and when to tell the truth, which may not rely on the same abilities that spontaneous lie-telling would. So to try to solve some of the inconsistencies between the limited findings with children and the findings with adult samples, a neuroimaging study with an adolescent sample might be useful. This could bridge the gap in understanding how changes in the brain related to theory of mind and inhibitory control contribute to the ability to lie. A task that has been used in previous lie-telling research with young adults that could be used with adolescents in a neuroimaging study is Dan Ariely's matrix paradigm. In this paradigm, participants are given 10 3x4 matrices or tables. Each cell contains a decimal number, and the participant is told to find the two numbers in each table that add to 10. To increase motivation, they're told that they will be compensated based on the number of matrices they solve correctly. However, the task is fixed so that only 3 of the 10 matrices can be solved, so they have to tell a lie in order to get a decent score. Participants could complete this task in an fMRI scanner using buttons to navigate to the cells in the matrix they want to choose. After each table, they would receive feedback and be shown a tally of how many matrices they have solved correctly. At the end of the task, they would see an error screen where they're told the computer did not record their correct score, so they would be then asked to choose the correct number out of 10 that they solved correctly. We could then see which areas in the brain are activated when participants falsely report their score. Using this type of paradigm in an adolescent sample, we could bridge some of these gaps that exist between our knowledge of children's and adults' lie-telling and the brain regions that are responsible for this ability. For example, adolescence may be the period of development where the prefrontal cortex becomes developed enough to be involved in telling a lie. So overall, we know that theory of mind and inhibitory control are important when we tell a lie. However, we do not yet understand the brain regions that are involved in lying and how this may change across development. So even though there's a lot more for this field to learn, hopefully you all have a newfound appreciation for the complexity of lie telling, particularly maybe when a young child in your life tries to tell you a lie about something they've done wrong. Even if we see lying as a morally wrong behavior, it's also a sign of positive cognitive development in young kids. So now you have some potentially encouraging words for any parents you know that have young kids that are starting to lie to them about their little misdeeds. So thanks for listening.